The door opened behind them and Callahan came out onto the porch, dressed in flimsy white underpants that fell to his knees. The only other thing on him was the gold crucifix around his neck.
"It was an earthquake, wasn't it?" he said. "I felt one in Northern California once, but never since coming to the Cala."
"It was a hell of a lot more than an earthquake," Eddie said, and pointed. The screened-in porch looked east, and over there the horizon was lit by silent artillery bursts of green lightning. Downhill from the rectory, the door of Rosalita's snug creaked open and then banged shut. She and Roland came up the hill together, she in her chemise and the gunslinger in a pair of jeans, both barefoot in the dew. Eddie, Jake, and Callahan went down to them. Roland was looking fixedly at the already diminishing flickers of lightning in the east, where the land of Thunderclap waited for them, and the court of the Crimson King, and, at the end of Endworld, the Dark Tower itself. If, Eddie thought, if it still stands.
"Jake was just saying that if Susanna died, we'd know it," Eddie said. "That there'd be what you call a sigil. Then comes this."
He pointed to the pair's lawn, where a new ridge had humped up, peeling the sod apart in 1 10-foot line to show the puckered brown lips of the earth. A chorus of dogs was barking in town, but there were no sounds from the Falcon, at least not yet. Eddie supposed a goodly number had slept through the whole thing. The sleep of the drunken victorious.
"But it wasn't anything to do with Sue's, was it?"
"Not directly. No."
"And it wasn't ours," Jake put in, "or the damage would have been a lot worse, don't you think?"
Roland nodded. Rosa looked at Jake with a mixture of puzzlement and fright.
"Wasn't our what, boy? What are you talking about? It wasn't an earthquake, sure."
"No," Roland said. "A beam quake. One of the beams holding up the tower, which holds up everything. Just let go. Just snapped." Even in the faint light from the four seniors flickering on the porch, Eddie saw Rosalita Munoz's face lose its color. She crossed herself.
"A beam? One of the beams? Say no. Say not true."
Eddie found himself thinking of some long-ago baseball scandal, of some little boy begging, "Say it ain't so, Joe." "I can't," Roland told her, "because it is."
"How many of these beams are there?" Callahan asked.
Roland looked at Jake and nodded slightly. "Say your lesson, Jake of New York. Speak and be true."
6 beams connecting 12 portals," Jake said. "The 12 portals are at the 12 ends of the earth. Roland, Eddie, and Susanna really started their quest from the portal of the bear and picked me up between there and Lud."
"Shardik," Eddie said.
He was watching the last flickers of lightning in the east. "That was the bear's name."
"Yes, Shardik," Jake agreed. "So we're on the beam of the bear. All the beams come together at the Dark Tower. Our beam on the other side of the tower?"
He looked at Roland for help. Roland, in turn, looked at Eddie Dean. Even now, it seemed, Roland was not done teaching them the way of Eld. Eddie either didn't see the look or chose to ignore it, but Roland would not be put off.
"Eddie," he murmured.
"We're on the path of the bear, way of the turtle," Eddie said absently. "I don't know why it would ever matter, since the tower's as far as we're going, but on the other side it's the path of the turtle, way of the bear." And he recited, "See the turtle of enormous girth. On his shell he holds the earth. His thought is slow but always kind. He holds us all within his mind."
At this point, Rosalita took up the verse.
"On his back the truth is carried, and there are love and duty married. He loves the earth and loves the sea, and even loves a child like me."
"Not quite the way I learned it in my cradle and taught it to my friends," Roland said, "but close enough by watch and by warrant."
"The great turtle's name is Maturin," Jake said and shrugged, "if it matters."
"You have no way of telling which one broke?"
Callahan said, studying Roland closely. Roland shook his head.
"All I know is that Jake's right. It wasn't ours. If it had been, nothing within 100 miles of Calabrin Sturgis would be standing."
"Or maybe within 1,000 miles, who could know?" the very birds would have fallen flaming from the sky.
"You speak of Armageddon," Callahan said in a low, troubled voice.
Roland shook his head, but not in disagreement.
"I don't know that word, Bear. But I'm speaking of great death and great destruction, sure. And somewhere, along the beam connecting fish to rat, perhaps, that has now happened."
"Are you positive this is true?" Rosa asked, low.